You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It is Saturday evening, October the 10th, and we're happy to be with you tonight. I'd like to start off tonight's show with a quick quote that I think certainly resonates from us to you and back again. It's from Mark Twain, and this is what Twain wrote. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, and brave, and hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And you know, when this thing turns around, ladies and gentlemen, and I not only have hope, I firmly believe that the things that we talk about on this program will be favorably resolved. These issues that are so near and dear to us and to you will work themselves out in God's good time, and I think we're going to be okay. I truly believe that. And when we are, we will be able to look back with pride and say, you know what, when it wasn't easy, when it was hard, when it looked like the odds were against us, and certainly the odds are against us, you know, let's not be foolhardy here. You know, it's going to be a tough battle. But you see the ascendant nationalism throughout Europe. You're seeing things here in America. I think there is a simmering just beneath the surface, and you could have Who knows? Rebellion, an uprising. You could have a populist, constitutionalist, identitarian upcoming in very short order. You know, I think that when things change, they can change quickly. And anyway, that quote from Twain really meant something to me. I came across it this week, thought we'd open up the program with it. I do want to say this, though. You know, we have done a very good thing here. I was packaging all of these flags that were ordered during last month's fundraising drive, which was very successful. And then, of course, we had a lot of flags that people asked for that they couldn't quite afford. You know, the $100 contribution. So our good friend and sponsor, Scott at Dixie Republic, DixieRepublic.com, he gave us a bunch of Confederate flags free of charge, in addition to the Roland flags that the people had purchased to give out to folks. So we're going to be sending out well over 100 Confederate flags. And these aren't just, you know, it's not like you're leafleting your neighborhood, just throwing Confederate flags on people's lawns and hoping they get picked up. No, these are Confederate flags that people want, that they're very excited to receive, that they will do something with. And folks, I'm proud about that. I think we've done something good in addition to the sacrifice you make to help keep this show on the air with your contributions. We're able to turn that into something that I think has been one of our most meaningful incentives in all the time we've been on this show, almost 11 years now, to get these Confederate flags out. Everybody will be able to make a statement and do something positive with those. And so they will go out on Tuesday. They will go out on Tuesday. We finally got everything processed, packaged, and ready to ship. They'll go out priority mail. So before you hear us again next Saturday, you will have that Confederate flag, and we would like to hear from you. And
show us a picture of how you're
there
flying.
There you go.
It.
Thank you, Keith.
Flying it out in front of your house or business or wherever. Let's stick a finger in the eye of the left. Let them know that we ain't scared, as it says on that famous bumper license plate that people have. And let's do it. Let's go out there. Let's make the kind of, like, we're going to be like Hank Williams Jr. and you'll bet I'll brag on that rebel flag. You're going to get your rebel flag, and you got to show your colors, folks.
Well, we may be the voice of the South, but we're the voice of a lot more than that. We're the voice of our people wherever they come from, whether it's in the United States or throughout Europe and Canada and wherever the Western world still is. Our people are there, and they're tuning in this evening, and we receive not only contributions but correspondence from all of these places. And I got to share something with you, Keith, that I just thought, you know, of all the emails we receive, and we receive so many, and they're all so important, and they all are so meaningful to us. But I got one this week that really stood out. Now, listen to this. It's a guy, you know, we've had people that have listened to us really since the first year we went on the air. Some people would call that masochism, but they've stuck with us for over a decade. I'm just kidding, folks. So we do a very good work here, and it's supported by people who matter. But there have been people, Keith, who have been with us since day one, and there have been people who have perhaps tonight's show is their very first show, but a lot of people, most of them, in fact, fall somewhere in between those two
extremes
or points in time, if you will. Well, I got an email from a guy who has been listening for a few months, and he says every Monday, now listen to this, every Monday, it's not just him, but other people at his office, the place where he works, they listen to the show too, so they've got a little cesspool fan club. And every Monday morning, they get together at the water cooler and talk about the most recent show. I can actually see this happening. Boy, did you catch Keith's filibuster during the first hour? Oh, yeah, but I really liked it when Eddie was dropping the napalm. And of all the things that they may talk about, Keith, it's a group of three or four guys, I believe it was, and coming in from Madison, Wisconsin, and so this is occurring. What would you like them to say about you on Monday, Keith?
I'd like them to say that we are the acolytes that are keeping the flame alive for our people, for traditional culture, for Western civilization. You've got to do the best. Yeah, basically what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to keep our shoulder to the wheel. We've got to, I think we're really beginning, we're on the cusp of making a real change. I think that society is finally waking up. I've told you before that our job is, you know, people are always so, you know, depressed about the prospects of conservatism, true, authentic conservatism actually prevailing. And I said, it's really the easiest thing in the world. It's just that the light bulb has to come on over enough heads. And of course, the light bulb doesn't come on when people don't hear the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We provide that. We're one of the few shows on mainstream media, on the airwaves, that actually does that. We don't avoid topics. We don't give you partial truths like almost everyone else does. And then we also are definitely not, like Sean Hannity and others, shills for the Republican or the elite establishment. Basically, the problem in America and Europe and Australia today, New Zealand, places like that, is that we have a managerial elite in charge who are adamantly opposed to the interests of the common man in their nations. And these people are all secret or out of the closet globalists. And we're seeing a rise in nationalism. We're seeing a rise in, an awareness that these so-called conservatives that they present to us as the other side of the coin are not authentic. And that's a very hopeful sign. I just hope that what we do as being talked about in places like Madison, Wisconsin, and Boston, Massachusetts, and all San Francisco, California, all these bastions of liberalism in London, in Paris, in Oslo, in Stockholm, wherever, Athens. And what that will do, I think, is that will encourage people and we'll get the truth. We'll have numerous little boys that tell the emperor that he has no clothes.
Well, Keith, I think, and I don't say this braggadociously, I say this as a compliment to the audience who has made it so, but, you know, we're the tip of the spear here. You know, this radio network, what we're doing here on this program, tip of the spear in the media, and if that renaissance, if that awakening is going to occur, we will have played an important part, thanks to, again, the benevolence and the prayerful support of our audience. Well, that's it for the opening banter. We're going to get into red meat right after this. You're ready for red meat, aren't you, folks? It's coming your way in minutes. Stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, you know, we do like to open up each show with a little personal talk to the audience, maybe announcements letting you know the latest going on behind the scenes. And, you know, we don't do that to pat ourselves on the back, but rather to show you just exactly what's going on and how important you are. You know, I'm not going to lie to you folks and say that as we broadcast this evening, that our voice is being heard by as many people who heard Rush Limbaugh yesterday or Bill O'Reilly on television last night. But I think we can certainly say at this point that the passionate following of the political cesspool certainly is much more than that of a cult. You know, we're reaching tens of thousands every week, whether it's through our live broadcast or archives or our website. And we are positively impacting the lives of good people out there who need truth and encouragement. And, you know, it really is an interesting balancing act that we have, because a lot of times the truth with regard to the issues that we cover is not all that encouraging. But we find a way. You know, if you took all of the ingredients that it takes to produce the political cesspool every week, and you tried to artificially create that, it would just fall flat, and it would come across as insincere. And I don't know what it is, if it's God's divine providence or whatever the case may be, and I would certainly believe it is that. But our personalities, what you get between myself and Eddie and Keith, it just strikes a chord, and it resonates with people, and we see this with the correspondence that we really enjoy sharing with you. And there was just one more. You know, we talk about the people who have tuned in for years and years, people who are listening tonight for the first time, and each week inevitably we get correspondence from folks who say, you know, I tuned in for the first time and I just can't believe it. This is what I've been waiting for. And then people who've listened for months or even a year or two. But we got this from somebody who's just been there every week for as long as I can remember. I think she almost predates the show. Just a great young Southern lady. And she writes that we were out last Saturday evening, but I plan on listening to the archive today. This was sent in a couple of days ago, Keith. It was funny, though, because I ran into a friend on Saturday evening who also supports the show, and we were discussing it. So see, even when I'm not listening, I'm discussing it with someone. So that, in addition to the water cooler get together that these folks in Madison have every Monday. So here's one of our female listeners, great lady, great Christian mother, and she's out running about, and then she runs into somebody in her town who's also a fan of the show, and then they start talking about it. You just never know.
We're on the lips and thoughts and in the prayers of people from Madison, Wisconsin to Madison, Mississippi, James.
Are you going to make me pick which one I like the best?
No, pick this one.
All right, which one are we starting with? Are we going to start with the pink newspaper?
Number one, bankruptcies pile up for firms, and then the second one.
Okay, here's what Keith brought in to cover.
By the way, let me do a little preamble on this.
Go ahead.
What we do here at the Political Cesspool is I have what's typically been called the Behind Enemy Lines segment, and that's what we're going to do in depth today. We go in depth in some new current events, articles in the mainstream media that are not discussed from the vantage point of authentic conservatism. And we're going to do that today in regard to the oil patch in the United States of America and in European countries worldwide is in trouble. And we're going to give you the news stories that substantiate this. Then we're going to give it our special analysis.
All right. And with that being said, Keith, we are going to talk now about bankruptcies and how they're piling up for oil firms. Price rebound is now seen as years in the future. And here is, this comes from the Commercial Appeal, which is the daily fish wrap here in Memphis last Saturday, October the 3rd. Almost a year into the global oil bust, the country's bankruptcy courts are starting to see a flood of filings from oil and gas companies seeking shelter from their creditors. What most had seen as a temporary drop in the price of oil is now being viewed as a sustained downturn, one from which the chance of recovery is growing slimmer by the day. This month, the nation's banks will begin their semi-annual review of oil and gas companies' reserves. And with most forecasts now predicting a substantial rebound in the price of oil to be at least 5 years away, those reserves are significantly less valuable than they were during the last review in the spring, potentially triggering a wave of defaults and legal action. What we've seen so far, people will tell you, were companies hanging on by their fingernails that were going to file for bankruptcy anyway, even if the prices didn't fall, said Michael Rosenthal, a bankruptcy attorney with the law firm Gibson Dunn. That suggests it's not going to get any better, and it might only get worse. You know, we like to divvy up the division of labor here, let the different cast and co-hosts bring in topics for discussion that means something to them. Keith, why does this mean something to you?
Well, read that second article, too, now, and then we'll take them both at the same time. This is more substantiation for our assertion that the oil patch is in serious trouble.
All right, this is also from the Commercial Appeal. Shell stops Arctic drilling, low oil prices, not worth it. So that's the headline. Here's the story. The inglorious end to Royal Dutch Shell's $7 billion search for oil in Alaska means billions of barrels of crude oil will probably remain locked away in Arctic waters from the U.S. to Russia, at least as long as prices remain near $50 a barrel. Shell abandoned exploration off Alaska for the foreseeable future on Monday after it failed to find meaningful quantities of oil or natural gas. In Russia, sanctions over Ukraine have halted partnerships aimed at exploring offshore in the Arctic, while exploration in Greenland has been on hold since 2012, and activity in Norway is also slowing. This effectively ends exploration for Arctic oil until prices recover, amid Bed Salim, a Paris-based analyst with Otto and Sy, said. Shell was the only company with the strong enough balance sheet that was currently exploring in the Arctic. A long slump in the crude price in the middle of that decade put an end to most exploration efforts. Shell chose instead to pursue vast reserves it found in the United States Gulf of Mexico, which were cheaper to develop and closer to market. Russia, which earns about half of its government revenue from the sale of oil and gas, wants to secure future supplies from the Arctic as deposits in Siberia, discovered during the Soviet era, decline. Okay, Keith, again, why are we talking about oil?
Well, there's something afoot. It's like that story, Something Wicked Comes This Way, or this movie. Something is afoot in the oil patch, and we have an opinion about what's going on in the oil patch. Quite frankly, the oil patch is the one area, segment of the U.S. economy that seems to have been recession-proof through all of the recessions we've had over the past 20 or 30 years. And the reason is they can't seem to offshore or outsource the oil. They can't persuade the oil reserves to move out to the Pacific Rim. They can pull up cotton plants and agriculture and take it to Southeast Asia and grow the stuff there in a longer growing season with cheaper labor and then ship it back. They can send all of our manufacturing overseas to be done by coolie labor in the Pacific Rim and in South America and Central America and elsewhere, and undermine those segments of the American economy. But thus far, the one exception to all of this has been the oil patch. The oil patch has been a hard nut for the managerial elite to crack. In fact, Jewish power and influence has always, if you'll note in the entertainment industry, they've always put down the oil patch. Think, for example, about the Beverly Hillbillies. The Beverly Hillbillies were typical oil millionaires, a bunch of local yokel rubes that were just out shooting at some food when a bullet hit the ground and oil started bubbling up, supposedly. And up through the ground come a bubbling crude, as I said. Well, that's their view, and that's the way it's been portrayed, really, since the 40s. There's a movie called Tulsa that shows how coarse and gross the people who populate the oil patch are. You have things like HUD. You have Written in the Wind, a 1950s movie that puts down the morality of the people in the oil patch. Why is that? We'll answer that question after these words from our sponsor.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, one of the things about being the lead host of this show is it's kind of like being an NFL quarterback. You got to read the defenses. You got to be ready to call an audible at a moment's notice. And we're going to get back to Keith's commentary on what's going on in the oil industry in just a second. But first, we're bringing in Scoop out of the bullpen. I guess we're going from football to baseball. But Scoop's got to come in a little bit earlier than his normal segment at the end of the first hour tonight because he's got a family issue he's got to deal with. So we're going to go to Scoop immediately. And he's going to talk about cops and T-shirts, then we're going to get back to Keith. The Scoop, take it away.
Thank you, James, and hello, Political Successful family. Like James said before, he had to call special teams, but I'm part of the special ed teams. But anyway, I want to share an email a listener named Tim called, sent to myself and James. I'm going to read some of it and then have a little something after that. He says that he wanted to give us an update from his town about the story that at least made some national news. Officer Greg Aaliyah was gunned down by a black thug from a nearby rural, godforsaken part of my county. I'm sure you've seen the story. This happened at a Barnes & Noble. Forest Acres is a small town within the city of Columbia. It is an idyllic, affluent, southern conservative place. I'm convinced there's hardly a better place to raise a family. Local schools immediately went under a brief lockdown, as everybody knew what just had happened. As horrible as all of this is, it has been unbelievable, heartwarming to experience the response in my community. Students at the schools were seen wearing Blue Lives Matter T-shirts. There was a huge blue banner in the cafeteria that says, "Rest in Peace, Greg Aaliyah." Our front lawn... our chief of police had Officer Aaliyah's car towed to the front lawn of the police headquarters so that Greg will always have been the last man to sit behind its wheel. The vigils, replaying, flowers, teddy bears, banners, and personal notes and letters that have spontaneously showed up at the police department are amazing. A shocking number of people have shown that they really know what's going on in our country. As I walked up to Officer Aaliyah's patrol car in the rain from Hurricane Joaquin 30 minutes ago, it gave me a gut-sinking feeling like I was walking up to the fallen corpse of my Confederate ancestor on a battlefield still singed with smoke. The heart and the love and the countless bouquets and messages left by the people in my town gave me a sense of being in church. I know you stated last week that, quote, no branch of Christianity has a spine, unquote, but you are wrong. I am 100% satisfied with almost every branch of the Orthodox Church. I think you would be, too, if you explored it. It is in this experience that my community and I can feel a direct linkage from Christ to the Confederacy and now to us. Now, folks, this is the reason why I am so passionate about these Political Cesspool Blue Lives Matter T-shirts. I want to make a statement that the Political Cesspool supports law enforcement and will not tolerate cop killings. I have personally designed these T-shirts. They are a black American-made T-shirt with a gray Gadsden flag on the front. The flag represents America and a warning that we will not be bullied by our enemies with the words, me. The rattlesnake represents the consequences if you do attempt to tread on us. The gray represents the nature of law enforcement, as things isn't black or white, but gray. And represents the thin line between civility and anarchy. This line is made up of the men and women who wear the blue uniform every day. Some do not come home at the end of the day. The motto above and below the flag is seven simple words. Stop the cop killing, support the police. On the back of the shirt is the hashtag Blue Lives Matter and our website address. I want the public to know who we are. I have some things that I want to do in 2016 that I'm working on that I want max participation from you, the fans. I got Of course, these events will be in D.C. because I got two small children and a wife to care for, and I don't have enough gas to get out of town. But imagine some political rally at Capitol Hill, a dozen successful fans show up in the same T-shirts. The media would have to take notice. But so please, go to booster.com/stop-the-cop-killings. We are not planning to make any money, but we need to sell 25 T-shirts or the supplier will not print them or ship them. Remember, people, Christmas is around the corner, and imagine giving these shirts to some liberal pink and commie cop-hating sodomite. He or she would just be absolutely floored. But, again, we're not making any money. We want to make a statement. James, that's all I have. I'm going to have to cut it short. Take care of this situation. But everybody else have a good week.
Yeah, and I want to tell you, Scoop, thank you again. I'm going to post the majority of your commentary just then. We're going to get it transcribed and put it up on the website with that website to the T-shirts. I think a nationally syndicated radio show can move 25 T-shirts, don't you, ladies and gentlemen? So rather than have to try to type it out as Scoop is telling you the URL, we'll get you that link now that the third quarter fundraising drive is over, and you can help be a part of that, have some political cesspool apparel designed by the one and only Scoop Stanton, who received his own email this week from a listener in South Carolina. It was a very good email, and we appreciate Tim in South Carolina for sending that in to Scoop and to the show. Scoop, best of luck. I know you got an issue to deal with. Let us know how it turns out, and thanks for your commentary this evening, as always. All right, Keith, back to you after, the defense really shifted on us there, so we're trying to sack the quarterback. Hang on, Keith. I turned off your mic a second ago when the phone call. Keith got a phone call in from a reporter, and anyway, I turned off his mic while he was answering it. All right, go ahead.
Okay, here is the situation on the oil patch. Despite the best efforts of the global elite, they haven't been able to shake America's hold on its own oil industry up until now. The oil patch, furthermore, is dominated by Gentiles and not the sons of Israel that seem to dominate the rest of the economy, like the financial sector, for example. Wall Street used to be dominated by companies like Merrill Lynch and Brown Brothers. Now it's Solomon Smith Barney, Goldman Sachs, companies like that that are obviously have Jewish leadership. That's what's happened throughout, for example, the movie industry, the entertainment industry. 8 major movie studios, 8 Jewish CEOs. That hasn't been the case in the oil industry, at least up until this point. But the American ownership, they've, I think, finally found a way to crack that coconut, and that's what they're doing now. Here's what's happening. The United States was on the verge of energy independence. We have enough coal to fire our power plants for utilities in America for 1,000 years. We have now enough oil to be energy independent in oil and natural gas with the development of fracking. But we don't have all of those reserves online yet. To get them online, the price of oil for the private industries that are creating it has to be high enough so that they can not only cover the cost of pumping it out of the ground, they can also cover drilling and exploration costs, and particularly in areas where they're trying to develop new reserves like the Arctic. As you can tell from that article, now the last player in Arctic oil development, Royal Dutch Shell, is backing out. They were the most prosperous, had the strongest balance sheet of any of the oil companies, but they're now backing off because the price of oil seems to be set for the foreseeable future at below $50 a barrel. Now, why is this happening? Who is behind it? Well, Saudi Arabia is behind it. They are the primary player in OPEC, which is the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. Now, Saudi Arabia doesn't have that big of a demand for their own oil, but they have plenty of oil that's easily accessible, cheaply pumped out of the ground. So they have been a major player, and they are the major player in OPEC. As a major player, they've had to endure other smaller players like Venezuela, Russia, and others who would overdo their quota of oil. In other words, they would sell more than what their quota was, and in order to keep peace among the OPEC nations, the Saudis would just be eating this loss of their market share. Well, they've decided now they have two incentives. One, they want to stop that slippage with the other OPEC nations, and two, most importantly, they don't want the United States to become energy independent in petroleum products, because if we did, that would remove the largest consumer market basically in the world from them, the most prosperous market, and they are going to make sure that doesn't happen. So what they're doing is they are selling oil at such a price where it's just, you know, low depth oil drilling wells can pump it up and sell it and cover the cost. And that's how they're going to drive the competition out of business. We'll get into this in more detail after these words from our sponsor.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, last segment of this, our first hour of the evening. Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be in later on in the broadcast for the second half of the show. And when we come back at the top of the second hour, Keith and I are going to take a look at a courageous professor. Those two words aren't normally put in the same sentence together. He's up at the University of New Brunswick in Canada, and he's saying some great things about his opposition to cultural Marxism and political correctness. So we're going to break that down and give you a good news story at the top of the second hour. Always hang on for those. But before we get into the second hour, we're going to go back to the oil patch with Keith, who is talking. He's all about oil this first hour. Keith, continue to tell us why.
The reason I'm all about oil is it's the one segment of the American economy that hasn't been outsourced, can't be outsourced, and is still dominated for the most part by Gentiles. Okay? That makes it very unusual and very valuable to our people and to America and to the West. Now, there is a move afoot. There are events happening now that could threaten that status quo. Basically, the low oil prices that we've all been enjoying at the pump, you know, $2 a gallon gasoline, for example, in the Memphis area, for example, are a symptom of the low price for crude oil by the barrel. Typically, for example, over the last several years, it's been over $100. Now, recently, in the past, you know, 6 months to a year, it's gone down below $50 a barrel. Now, the Saudis are the major players causing this to happen. How are they doing it, and why are they doing it? They're doing it because, one, they don't want America to get their fracking reserves online, because when they do, we will be, in effect, for all practical purposes, energy independent, and they don't want that. They want us dependent on their oil. They want us over a barrel, no pun intended.
I was about to say.
Yeah, no pun intended, that where we have to buy their oil, and if they can do that, as they did in the 70s, they can jack up the price to whatever they want to, and we've got no choice but to either park our cars succumb to their price, buy it, and it causes a lot of economic hardship. They don't want us to be energy independent as a nation. So how can the Saudis pull this off? They can pull it off because most of their oil reserves are already online. The oil wells have already been drilled. They're operational. They're shallow. They can pull this oil up and make money at about $20 a barrel. The only other area in the oil-producing world that can do that is the Permian Basin in Texas. That's the old oil wells that have been online probably since around the turn of the 19th to the 20th century. Those shallow oil wells can continue to produce, and they can continue to make money at a reduced rate, of course. But anyone who wants to drill for more oil, or a country like Venezuela or Russia that depends on petroleum for a large segment of their gross national product and their income, they're going to be hurt. See, the Venezuelans want oil to be over $100 a barrel. So do the Russians. This really puts a crimp in their style of living because they're basically supporting their whole country. Of course, Saudi Arabia is supporting their whole nation with the revenue obtained by selling oil. But they have a much smaller population than, let's say, Venezuela or Russia. So they can pump this oil out and keep the price low. They're flooding the world market with oil, with their oil, selling it at from around $20 a barrel. And none of the other big players who are trying to drill for oil, either fracking reserves, bringing them online, or looking for new oil reserves in the Arctic or anywhere else, they're not doing it. Vertical drilling, the old-fashioned way of getting oil, drilling straight down into the ground, that is prohibitively expensive with oil at $20 a barrel. Fracking, which is horizontal drilling, is cheaper, but still it's not really a good deal at $20 a barrel for crude oil, which is kind of the going price now. And the forecasters realize that the Saudis are going to do this until they shake up the market. They're going to shake out the small players in America, the small companies, the companies that sell used drilling pipe, the companies that sell all sorts of oil field supply and support systems. Schlumberger and the big people can probably weather the storm for a while. But even big companies, as that first article, bankruptcies pile up for oil firms. We're beginning to see this. What's going to happen? In bankruptcy, all these assets are going to be sold, and I'll bet you a dollar to the donut hole that the same people that used to own these companies are not going to be owning these assets in the future. The oil reserves, the oil wells, everything is going to change hands. It's either going to go to the Saudis or it's going to go to the tribe. And that's what they would like. They want to basically, even since they can't move America's oil production offshore, they want other people than America's American citizens to own that. And particularly the white Gentiles that dominate the oil patch in Texas and places like that. They want other people to own it. They basically want to dispossess America and Americans of their last crown jewel asset in the economy. And that's our, that's the bottom line on that. That's what's going on. See, this is the danger of free trade. I tell people that being the only nation in the world that believes in free trade is like being the only woman in town that believes in free love. You're going to get a lot of attention, but none of it's very good for you. We're getting a lot of attention, and our oil patch is being coveted by other people, and they want to basically bankrupt a lot of American companies so they can take over those assets. They'll be there at the fire sale at the bankruptcy court trying to get these assets, and they probably will. They've got the money stashed away. And when they do that, they will own our oil. If we had a nationalistic economic policy, we would step in like the Chinese do and put a limit on how much foreign ownership there could be of assets that are a national treasure to the United States, like our petroleum reserves. But of course, these neoconservatives with their devotion to the so-called principles of the free market aren't willing to step up and take the common sense solution to what the problem is. You know, they act as if there's something magic about the free market. Well, if the free market is being dominated by overseas players and overseas people own our assets, we're basically like a colony. We already have the trade balance sheet of a colony, as Pat Buchanan pointed out some years ago. The trade balance sheet between the United States and China looks like the manifest from the Jamestown colony to the mother country. We're sending over agricultural products and raw materials, and we're getting back from the Chinese manufactured goods. What's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with it is that most Americans need a manufacturing sector job in order to get a middle-class income. If you are just working in the service sector, for example, if you're working at a warehouse that warehouses goods that are manufactured overseas rather than in a factory that manufactures them here, in the Memphis area, your income is going to top out at about $12 an hour without benefits as a forklift operator. And they don't have that many of them. You'll have a huge warehouse, and they might have at the most 20, 25 employees, where if it was a factory, they'd have 200 to 500 employees in a building of the same size. Plus, the people would be making two times as much even without a union. If $12 an hour is what the going rate is for a service sector job, a manufacturing job is probably going to pay $24 or $25 an hour. Plus, it's going to have employee benefits like health insurance, a retirement package, and things like this. So consequently, all these municipalities are constantly competing with one another to try to get manufacturing jobs or good company jobs in their locality, but there just aren't enough of them to go around. You're robbing one locality for the benefit of the other. We need somebody like Donald Trump in charge who is going to take a nationalistic approach and grow our manufacturing sector, and if he has to do it with tariffs, he's not averse to doing it. He's going to do whatever works. He's not the slave to some ideology like free trade that is basically the primrose path to perdition for America, James. So beware of these low oil prices. They're good, but it would be much better if we were bringing the fracking reserves online so that based on our own supply of oil, we could have $2 a gallon gas rather than getting it from the Saudis who are trying to run our own domestic petroleum companies out of business.
How about that, ladies and gentlemen? You know, it's not a topic that we cover regularly on this show. In fact, it's one we don't cover very much at all. But, you know, Keith's a thoroughbred, and every now and then you got to let the thoroughbred run. And so we've just put Keith in the pasture, and he was galloping just then. That was about a 8-minute commentary without him taking a breath, as only he can do. And we're all the better for it. And it's great to have Keith be able to do that. And this show is the venue, of course, that Keith Alexander the Great has made possible. So we hope that you got something from that. And I know, Keith, that you were obviously had a lot to say about that. And again, for a topic that isn't on, you know, our weekly radar, I thought that was an incredible job. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we will be talking about the bravery of a professor of sociology at the University of New Brunswick. Stay tuned. Bravery is contagious. We'll be back to tell you the story.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.